Good morning, and thanks for tuning in to The Way That Leads to Life. I'm Steve Klein. It's great to have you listening to our program today. Hope that everything is getting off to a good start for you this morning, and that you're getting ready to go out and worship God on this first day of the week. We'd love to have you do that with us at the Eastside Church of Christ. We meet at 110 French Way in Athens, Alabama. So if you're anywhere in the Athens area, come be with us this morning at 9 o'clock. 110 French Way, just off Highway 31. We'll be worshiping God, having a Bible study, doing those things that bring us closer to God and closer to one another. If you're not able to get out today, you can check us out online. Our services are live streamed. You can go to our Facebook page, Eastside Church of Christ in Athens, and check out the live streaming there. Or look at our website, eastside-church.org, eastside-church.org. Click on the media tab and the live streaming. There are a lot of other things on our website as well. Videos of Bible classes, other sermons, a lot of lesson material. If you're interested in finding a website with a lot of Bible teaching and Bible content, check that out. You can sign up for a Bible correspondence course there, a home Bible study, whatever we can do to help you come to a knowledge of God's Word or increase your knowledge in God's Word. We'll be happy to do that. But come out and be with us today if you possibly can. Again, we'd love to have you in our assembly and study God's Word with us, 9 o'clock this morning, 110 French Way in Athens, Alabama. This morning on the program, I'd like to begin with just a thought for us to consider. Have you ever thought about whether or not there are false forms of Christianity? Do you just accept if somebody says, well, I'm a Christian, or I practice the religion of Jesus Christ, you just accept that they do? Or is it possible that there are some who are claiming to be Christians who aren't really Christians, that there are some forms of so-called Christianity that might be being practiced today that aren't really Christianity at all? Have you ever thought about that? Jesus and his apostles often warned of men preaching another Jesus or another gospel. In other words, preaching a Jesus who wasn't the real Jesus, or preaching a gospel that wasn't the authentic gospel. Look with me if you have your Bible and you're at home. You can open up your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And I'd like to read verses 3 and 4 as Paul is writing to the church at Corinth. And he's worried about them because he thinks that they are susceptible to being deceived into accepting some false ideas. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3, I fear lest somehow as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you received a different spirit, which you have not received, or a different gospel, which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. So, you see what Paul's concern is there? He's really worried that these Christians in Corinth are going to be led astray by a concept about Jesus that isn't right, that they might accept another Jesus, that they might accept a different gospel other than what the apostles of Jesus had delivered to them. And Paul's really concerned about that. He's concerned about the Galatians in the same way. Turning over to Galatians chapter 1, starting in verse 6, the problem had already taken place among the churches of Galatia. Some of them had been turned away from the true gospel to a fake gospel, to a false form of Christianity. So Paul says to them in Galatians 1 and verse 6, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you who want to pervert the gospel of Christ. Wow, there are people even in Paul's day perverting the gospel of Christ, pretending like, hey, this is Christianity. This is who Christ is. This is what serving him is all about. But they weren't telling the truth about it. It was a false form of Christianity. Paul tells the Galatians here in Galatians chapter 1 that even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we've said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. So we learn a couple of things from this. We learn that there's only one true gospel and there's only one true Jesus. But we also learn that there are those who want to twist the gospel and who want to twist the concept of Jesus into something of their own liking. There's a very popular ad campaign out right now. You see commercials on TV a good bit. You'll see spots on social media. And it's supposed to be presenting Jesus to us. And the name of the campaign, I think, is He Gets Us. But a lot of the things that they present about Jesus are really skewed. They're not really giving us a full picture of who Jesus is and how we should feel about Him and how He relates to us. But I'm not just picking on that particular one ad campaign. I'm afraid that this false concept of the gospel and of who Jesus is prevalent in our society among many religious groups, that folks have indeed just made Jesus out to be something that they want Him to be. They're not looking at the Jesus of the New Testament. I think they've made Christianity out to be something that they like and that is comfortable for them, but not really the Christianity of the New Testament. Just honestly, how many people do you think today are actually believing and practicing the form of Christianity that we find delivered to us in the New Testament? That's a telling question, isn't it? I think if we're honest with ourselves, we'd have to say, well, probably not many. Probably not many. So will a false form of Christianity get you to heaven? If perverting the gospel of Christ was something that Paul was so concerned about that he warned the Corinthian church and the Galatian churches, about the tragedy of it and the danger of it, you think it's okay to pervert the gospel of Christ? Well, obviously it's not. And it jeopardizes our salvation to change Jesus or to change His gospel into something other than what it is. But that's what's going on around us all of the time. There are false forms of Christianity that surround us. There's what I sometimes call a psychological Christianity that is designed to make people feel good about themselves. It's sort of a pep talk religion where everything is positive. So you have the Joel Osteens of this world saying things like, I'm not here to tell everyone what they're doing wrong. Well, you know, that sounds nice. So he doesn't want to tell us what we're doing wrong. Does that mean it's okay just to keep on doing the wrong that we're doing? If he doesn't tell us what we're doing wrong, who's going to tell us? If this is our idea of Christianity, that the preacher never tells you what you're doing wrong, then you just keep on doing wrong. Is that you think that's what Jesus did? Is that the Jesus of the New Testament? No. Jesus comes, and the very first words He preaches, in fact, the first word He said in preaching, is repent. That means, repent means to change your mind, change your life. In other words, you're doing wrong, you need to change. John the Baptist came with the same message, repent. He told people what their sins were. He pointed out what it was that they were doing wrong and told them what they needed to do right. Both John the Baptist and Jesus, this was the way they preached. Just read the New Testament. This concept that we're going to have a religion that's called Christianity, but we're never going to be told what it is that we're doing wrong or what it is that we need to correct, is as far from scriptural Christianity as can possibly be. It is a false form of Christianity, and yet so many people have bit on this and consider it to be genuine. When you have religion that is focused on, personal pleasure, contrived happiness, the avoidance of suffering, none of that is true Christianity. However, those concepts that are so prevalent today, the feel-good Christianity that so many are just accepting today, and that's all they want to do is feel good. They never want to feel bad about their sins. They never want to go through any difficulty. It's predicted, it was prophesied that this would happen, that some would depart from the faith in this way. Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, and he says in verse 3 that the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. That means healthy teaching, proper teaching. Time will come when they will not endure that kind of teaching, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to fables. So you have folks not wanting to hear the truth because sometimes the truth is hard to hear. Sometimes the truth doesn't tell us that we're okay and that we're doing all right. Sometimes the truth challenges us to correct wrongs in our thinking, in our living, in the way we treat other people. That's what the truth will do. It'll really work on us, right? And sometimes the truth's not comfortable for people. A lot of people who don't want to change don't like that. And so they're going to find somebody to tell them that they're okay. And they'll turn away from the truth and turn aside to fables. And Paul was concerned about that as he writes to Timothy. When he wrote to the Galatians, back in Galatians 6, he says that there were some among them that just desired to make a good show in the flesh. They just wanted to look good on the outside, everything to be okay. In the day and time in which Paul lived, if you were a Jewish Christian, you had probably left your culture of Judaism, your familiar social surroundings in order to become a Christian. You probably lost a lot of friends because of that, because you were no longer involved in traditional Judaism. And that was difficult for a lot of Jewish Christians. And so Paul talks about that in Galatians chapter 6, that there would be people who would insist that Jewish Christians go back to Judaism, right? If you want to be a part of our culture, our subculture, if you want to be a part of, you know, friends with your old friends and buddies with your old buddies, if you want to experience all of that, you're going to have to go back to this traditional Judaism and not accept Christ. They don't want to suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. There's similar thinking going on today, that Christianity just allows us to go along with the prevailing culture or our subculture, and we can be comfortable with whoever and whatever is around us. We don't need to stick out. We don't need to do anything different from everybody else. Again, this is just a false form of Christianity that's not designed to bring us to Jesus, not designed to help us walk the way that leads to life. It's just designed to make us feel good about ourselves. And as I said, sometimes I call this a psychological Christianity. There's another false form of Christianity that's really popular today. You might call it social Christianity, where people look at their religion as just kind of a way to make friends, to have good, wholesome interactions with other people, to engage in socializing and social type activities. So it's like, you know, you're part of a club and you have facilities and recreational time and facilities. There's not a lot of scripture included in this kind of religion. It's good time religion with a special appeal to maybe those who would like to get into a lodge or a country club or something like that, but they can't really afford it. So you have this church that's going to take care of your physical needs. You're going to have a gymnasium you can play basketball in. You'll have a kitchen. You'll have meals in that. Maybe even a theater. You'll go to a theater, not to learn about Jesus, but to see movies, and you'll participate in plays and in parties. And so you have this social Christianity that so many churches are into nowadays, and it makes up the lion's share, actually, of what they're doing. You know, Christmas programs to entertain, essentially. It's instructive. It's interesting to me that if you go back to the first century, the century in which Christianity was born into this world, Christ came, lived, died. His church was established on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. Christianity was born into a culture, the Greco-Roman culture of the time, that knew all about all of this kind of stuff. You know, the Greeks invented gymnasiums and the idea of, you know, sumptuous meals, eating together and having feasts in celebration, just to celebrate. The concept of a theater where you would go to watch plays, that again, very prominent and prevalent in Greco-Roman society. There was a theater in a place called Scythopolis that was not very far from where Jesus lived. Another village near Jesus, the home of his home in Nazareth, was called Sepphoris, and there was a Greek theater there, just a couple of miles from where Jesus lived. But you know, you'll read through the pages of the New Testament, and you won't find churches going to theaters to watch plays. You won't find them building gymnasiums for their members to engage in recreation. Oh, the Greeks and the Romans, they had a lot of gymnasiums. Again, they invented them. But you won't find churches involved in that, because that's not New Testament Christianity at all. That's not what it's about. Why don't we go back to what Christianity's supposed to be and quit practicing these false forms of Christianity? You know, in Romans 14 and verse 17, the Apostle Paul said that the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. That would come as a shock to a lot of people today who think that the kingdom of God is eating and drinking. That's most of what is done, perhaps, or a lot of what is done in you know, some religious groups. It's all about the fellowship dinners and the eating and the drinking and the socializing. Is that Christianity? Is that what it's all about? Is that what Jesus died for? What do you think? There are false forms of Christianity still today. I think prevalent in our society, there's also a political Christianity that a lot of people are involved in nowadays. It seems more and more of late that Christianity is mixed and mingled with politics and what's going on with our government. And we're so concerned about that we forget what it is that we're supposed to be doing for Christ, who it is that we're supposed to be. The Bible teaches that Christians are citizens of the kingdom of heaven, and that our goals and aspirations for this world are not going to be aligned with anybody's political campaign or political stance. Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world." His kingdom is still not of this world. We have responsibilities to our government, for sure, if we're Christians. We need to respect our government, honor our government. In Romans chapter 13, the Apostle Paul is really clear about that. And he writes to the Romans. And he's writing at a time when, you know, there were some people ruling in Rome, the Caesars, most of whom were not nice people and not particularly good moral people, and were doing a lot of things in the government that were immoral, and doing a lot of things with the government that were oppressive to good people. And yet Paul writes, Romans 13, "Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. There is no authority except from God. The authorities that exist are appointed by God." So even in a time when government wasn't good, in fact, it was awful in a lot of ways, the Apostle Paul is telling Christians to respect the government, to be subject to the government, and to respect the authority. In fact, he goes on later in this same text, and he says, "Render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, and honor to whom honor." Peter writes something very similar in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 13, when he says, "Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or as to governors that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good." In other words, Peter's saying, again, respect the government. Early Christianity was born into as corrupt a political climate as has ever existed. Whatever corruption we may think is going on in politics in the United States of America today would pale in comparison. Absolutely pale in comparison to what was going on in the Roman government of the days of Jesus and Peter and Paul. And yet, we there's not an inkling of any New Testament apostle or prophet or faithful Christian you know, getting involved in some political campaign with the idea of we're going to change the world by changing what's going on in the political realm. Now, did they stand for what's right? They did. Did they say what was right when they had opportunity to stand before kings and queens? Yes, they did. Did they insist that justice be given justly in the court system of their days? They pled for that. But as far as just giving themselves over completely to some political movement, that was not done. It was not done because they were involved in the movement to change the world by telling people about Jesus. That's the same movement that Christians need to be involved in today. We're going to change the world, all right. We're going to change it not through politics, not through political maneuvering. We're going to change the world by bringing people, one by one, to Jesus Christ. That's the mission of Christians today, even as it was in New Testament times. So we're talking about false forms of Christianity. There are lots of them. I've talked about psychological Christianity, a feel-good religion where people just doing things that make them feel good. I've talked about a social Christianity that's a false form of Christianity where, you know, it's all about socializing and fun and games. I've talked about political Christianity that's just so concerned about what's going on in the political realm that it just eats away at all that we can think about and all that we are interested in, and we lose sight of what's really important for the cause of Jesus Christ. Another form of Christianity that I see today that's not really in line with the Word of God is what we might call emotional Christianity. And this sort of Christianity just thrives on hype, if you will. It's a pep rally sort of Christianity. It looks for experience with God through emotional signals, and emotions, as we know, can easily be contrived through manipulation. And so people are brought to an emotional pitch. They have in their worship assemblies, very, very emotional things going on that may or may not relate to the truth of the gospel. This sort of Christianity does not get its energy from learning about Jesus. What you find in the New Testament is people got emotional, for sure. There was a lot of emotion experienced and expressed by Christians in the pages of the New Testament. There's no doubt about that. But it came from the truth. It came from hearing the truth of the gospel. It came from hearing the truth about who Jesus is and about what he wants us to do and why he wants us to do what he wants us to do. But emotional Christianity finds teaching about Jesus and teaching about the Bible and getting in depth into the Word, finds all of that to be very boring. You know, that's not what it's all about to folks who are involved in just this emotional Christianity. You have a pep rally mentality. A lot of people are emotionally involved, but they really don't know hardly anything about Scripture, about the real Jesus. So there's 90% pep rally and yet a very low percentage of knowledge. The Apostle Paul talked about people of his day, some Jews, he said, I bear them witness. They have a zeal for God, but it's not according to knowledge. There were a lot of Jews, you know, who didn't become Christians, but they were really on fire for the God of the Old Testament, for God the Father, through the law of Moses. But they really didn't understand the law of Moses, and they certainly didn't understand who the Messiah was and what he'd come for and what he was offering them. They didn't understand who Jesus was. They had that zeal for God, but it was not according to knowledge. And then lastly this morning, as we think about various false forms of Christianity, I want to think with you about what we might call sacramental Christianity. And that's just a word that describes religion that is focused on certain items of worship, has loyalty to certain rites or ceremonies that some people believe, well, if I participate in this or if I do this, then that's all I need to do. particularly when it comes to the Lord's Supper. I think there are those that think that, well, if I can go to church and take of the Lord's Supper however often, whether it's every week or just once a year or whatever it is, that, wow, that's being a Christian, and that's all it takes. That's all it takes. If I show up for a worship assembly, you know, at Christmas time and Easter and take of the Lord's Supper, then I'm good. And it's just participating in certain events, certain parts of worship, whether they're what we ought to be doing or not, but it's those things that they do that make them feel good about serving the Lord. I want to say to you that there's a great danger in that. The Lord's Supper is a vital and important part of the worship assembly of Christians on the first day of the week. But Paul warns us, as he describes what we're to do in taking the Lord's Supper in 1 Corinthians 11, he warns us that he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. In other words, if you don't understand what's really going on here when you take the Lord's Supper, if you're not yourself in communion with the body of Christ, you're in danger of doing something that, rather than help you spiritually, is going to condemn you spiritually. So there are those who have a form of godliness. They practice some religion, and they focus on one thing or another, but not really doing what God expects of them completely. There are those, I think, also today who practice a Christianity that's just based on knowing a few facts. Maybe they're not so much focused on engaging in one or two forms of worship, but because they know a few facts, they feel like, well, that's enough Christianity, and I can defend some aspect of my faith. Maybe it's something important, like I can tell people about why you need to go to the Bible and rely on the Bible for what you do in practice. But they may not actually go to the Bible themselves, but they can just prove that point, right? And that's enough for them. It's not just someone who knows a little bit about Scripture that is pleasing to God, but someone who loves God's Word and who has God's Word living in them and through them, and they're doing what is right and not just saying what is right. John says in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 7, "Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous." So we have to be doing what it is that God says to do. There is true Christianity, authentic Christianity, I believe, that is still being practiced today and can be practiced today. It is Christianity that's the same Christianity we can read about in the pages of the New Testament. It is what Peter preached on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, when the church was established and people came into the body of Christ for the first time. In Acts chapter 2, you might remember Peter talked about the facts of the gospel, who Jesus is, what he has done for us in dying for us, in becoming our Lord and Savior, and the risen Christ. True Christianity is life-changing. People will repent. They'll be baptized into Christ for the remission of their sins. It's emotionally satisfying. You see that in Acts 2. The people gladly received the word of Peter, and they were obedient to it. We need to be sincere and honest before God and let Him live in our hearts, our souls, and our minds as a way of life. That's real Christianity. Our true interest will not be in what pleases ourselves, but in what pleases the God of heaven. This is true Christianity. This is the way that leads to life.